Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With Shane Swagger.
I'm going to get some shit for this. I think you're both right, and that'll probably be the last time this evening.
And Michael Fanaro.
He's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
Swags, you better bring us in or we're going to have a half hour of outtake.
Well, cheese and rice, guys.
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
But the thing that I don't see out there is I don't see you having no fun. Have some fun, man.
Come on,
man.
Come.
Hey, now we're awake. Now we're awake. Now we're awake. Now we roll. Hey, now we roll.
It's like toddler rules. Just make them as you go. Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 126. We didn't do anything special for Halloween this year, but we are here. It is that Halloween weekend, fun weekend. We're not going trick-or-treating for the first time ever.
I was going to go out as Gardner Minshew,
Fever,
but he's a ghost. Feverish
Finero, how the hell are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
He is kind of a ghost. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Gardner now. So now he's got a, well, I guess we'll do a little rookie rewind, but he's got the broken finger, torn ligaments in the thumb. It sounds like his job is in jeopardy.
Sounds like he's been dealing with it for 3 weeks now.
Yeah, told the team.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting through it, so
wouldn't you if you were him?
Yeah, oh absolutely, you know, and he might even want to still try to play through it if he can. You never know, you know.
Absolutely,
which is awesome if he does.
He's got the moxie to fight through it.
Yeah, exactly, so we'll see. The crazy thing is too, and I didn't plan on talking about this, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he's done really pretty well when you compare him to some of the other guys like Daniel Jones and some of the other guys that are kind of meh, like he's still doing pretty decent. He's just in such a bad situation. He can't get any wins.
Yeah. And I don't know if Jacksonville wants them.
Yeah. That's another thing too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a problem, right?
Yep. But the thing is too, is they're probably going to be, they'd really have to start losing to be one of the teams to get like the 1 or 2 overall pick.
Yeah, I agree. They got to catch up with those New York teams.
They're in an interesting spot, you know. Like, it's, you don't know. You know, there's just not always going to be a Herbert and a Tua at, like, 105 and 106 in the NFL draft. So, I don't know. Right. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But with that said, we're going to talk about some quarterbacks really quick before we get into the top 12. We've been kind of dying to talk about the trio that is Burrow, Tua, and Herbert. I feel like we should get Tua out of the way because he hasn't played. He's kind of the easiest. It's more of an expectations type thing. How are you feeling on Tua this week against the Rams?
I think it's a tough time. Tough time to come in against the Rams. They're a top 10 defense against the quarterbacks, fantasy points allowed. So I think he's going to struggle a little bit here, but I think we're going to see some flashes. He does have some. He has two matchups, week 10, 13. Are really nice. So I think he's going to struggle this week a little bit, but he would probably have struggled anyway. He does have the 2 weeks to kind of prepare for this game. I think low expectations probably. And then it does soften up a little bit for him over the next 3 weeks. And even weeks 14 and 16 aren't too bad.
So Tua or Ben DiNucci starting for Dallas this week?
DiNucci. Tua.
Yeah, that's crazy though, right? Like, I have a couple leagues where I'm legitimately probably starting him this week.
DiNucci?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you got to start DiNucci, you of all people have to start DiNucci. You usually stack the quarterback. What
mean,
are you starting him?
And that's just it, dude. I have one, like, I have a couple where Watson and Gardner on bye weeks. Yep,
sure,
I have a couple of those situations where even I had Andy Dalton too, but obviously can't play him. So, like, in those leagues, I still have somebody like Matt Stafford in the one, for example. I think it's a Dwayne Haskins team. Mm-hmm. I've ran into some of the troubles that, you know, we kind of see in Superflex. It just happened a lot differently this year. Some of the players that I have some shares of just haven't helped me. But then I still am deep enough to have, like, you know what I mean? Still have even Gardner, who I know we're worried about, but I have him as a starter with Stafford and Kyler Murray. Like, so you really have Kyler Murray and Watson out this week. You have Gardner, like we mentioned. Even Kyle Allen, who you've gotten for cheap in some of your leagues, he's out in a bye week this week. And, I mean, if you've ran into some injuries, yeah, it's just rough times, man.
Yeah, those bye weeks are a bitch.
And that's why, like, I advocate that, like, quarterback early and often and just keep pounding it, because this is when that diversity, or I guess it's not diversity because you're getting all quarterbacks, but this is when that helps you, because even if you've been lucky and you have a team with 4 to 5 starting quarterbacks now, and you can go fill another position if you lost somebody, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know, but yeah, I've ran into some trouble, man, and I am starting him. Well, so I'll ask you, should I start Hunter Renfrow or Ben?
Oh, man, I have to look at Renfrow's matchup, but, you know, what's Renfrow good for? Maybe 8 to 10 points?
That's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, so he has that ceiling of maybe 15 to 20 with a floor of probably 2, and your expectations are probably 6 to 8. Totally agree with you.
Yeah, so I think I have to go with the quarterback in that situation.
Right, dude. So that's my real life. That's my real life.
That's my real life in fantasy football.
Yeah. And what it is. And I'm with you. I think I'm going to do that. So I traded a 2022 third to get Ben DiNucci today. You say it way cooler than me, though. But yeah, I did.
DiNucci. You gotta put the Italian accent on the end of it.
Yeah, seriously, that's pretty fire.
I don't know if he's Italian.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
So, Tua.
Tua.
Kind of got to wait and see. He's kind of being thrown out into the fire. I feel like
I'm excited for some of his pieces, because his pieces have sucked.
Yeah.
Very much like someone else we're going to speak about, the Chargers. It seemed as though in week one, you're like, oh God, you know, are we going to have a problem here for the season? Are we going to have to worry about Keenan Allen? It was only 1 week, so we weren't fretting, but.
We were never worried about Keenan Allen.
I wonder if Tua can wake some of these pieces up. You had a Devontae Parker with a huge wide receiver one season. You know, some pieces that I hope and wish that you know, certainly isn't going to happen this week. But some of those matchups that I talked about later on, week 10, 13, 14, even week 11, they're all manageable. And
so, like Preston Williams,
I made a lot of moves in the offseason to get. So yeah. I've been pretty upset with that. But I also have been patient and have been hoping that that maybe this, when this does happen, and it finally is happening, because, you know, we didn't know how soon this was going to happen. We speculated. I love that I get, you know, over half a season of Tua.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have as high of expectations for him at this point as Joe Burrow and Herbert?
Well, I mean, we have to remember, I mean, Tua was the QB1 without that hip injury. And it wasn't even debatable. It really wasn't. Like, if that hip injury hadn't come out, Tua would have been the 101. So, or the first NFL, I'm sorry, 101, talk about fantasy so much, the first overall pick without that hip injury. So he's almost a year to the day removed from that. And even to be honest with you, I think he could have started week 1. He was cleared for everything. He had we got 7 weeks to kind of sit and sit under one of the smartest QBs, I'll call him, in the league. And I think my expectations are, it's hard to say they're as high as those two young guys, because we've seen them. But why not? Why shouldn't they be that high? Unless you're just saying, okay, well, you know, Cincinnati and the Chargers just have better pieces around them. And that might be true. But, you know, I don't know, man. I think a quarterback can make people like Guyton relative, you know. I think a good quarterback, and I think Tua is absolutely a great potential quarterback that we could see that this year for sure. The Herbert stuff is more surprising to me, to be honest, and can't wait to talk about him.
Yes. Dude, I love Herbert. So rank those three quarterbacks
today,
right now.
Yeah. So I've said this on the show so many times, and it's backfired on me occasionally, and it will, but, I put a lot of stock in what's in front of my eyes, and what's in front of my eyes is that, you know, Herbert is just really risen in my eyes. I always knew that he was going to have like somewhat of a rushing floor. I think he was very underestimated as an elusive quarterback. I feel like not enough people were talking about that. That was the one thing I kind of liked. I just wasn't expecting this accuracy, and especially this long accuracy. I mean, he doesn't just have a cannon for an arm. He has a sniper rifle, dude. He's got the second most passing TDs over 20 yards in the league. He's only behind Russell Wilson. He has 8 passing TDs over 20 yards. He also is, it was something like, I got to look at it again. I think it's most TD passes over 50 yards. He's got 4 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a cannon. That's an accurate cannon. And he looks it. He passes the eye test. And anybody who, was worried about him is no longer. And you know, we have to be careful of small sample sizes. We got very excited on the show with Gardner Minshew, right? And, I think part of that is an injury. But so we got to be careful about that. But, I mean...
Yeah, you know, that's a different kind of excitement. That's more like, and it was there. I'm not trying to get away from it. Please link me to Gardner Minshew, but it was never like that. It's more like similar to the James Robinson situation,
yeah,
where he
I got
meets
you.
The voice.
Yep.
You know what
right.
I mean? So
I hear you.
I just want to like, yes, we did get excited about Gardner, but I don't know that it's quite the same. Like to me, like even like. Herbert seems pretty special today, right? I mean,
so I have him. I'm only in 14 leagues. I'm not in 200 like you are, Swags. But in the 14 leagues, I went back before the show, and I just wanted to see how many shares I have, and I only have 5. But 5 out of 14 ain't bad.
Yeah, that's a decent amount.
And in those leagues, he's propelled me. Like, I mean, as he's like week 4, week 5, now week 7, it's been truly like league winning.
Mm-hmm.
I went from, you know, a good team to a great team, moving him, because I wasn't probably even starting him early, right? He wasn't my only quarterback in those leagues. And yeah, man, it's really fun to own him. And then just to think about how young he is on the team that he's on, they just really set him up to succeed. And I don't think this is a flash in the pan guy. I think this is something that most people are saying is a very valuable dynasty asset.
You do remember there was a question before you started talking, right?
What question was that? I'm sorry.
Rank Burrow, Tua, and Herbert. You tried to run, my friend.
Wow, I got to be a good 5 minutes away from that question. Okay, so if I'm going to rank them. Right, I remember. I digressed with the. I have to see what's in front
yes,
of me. So
we know.
I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead and go. Damn it, dude! All right, so I'm gonna go.
All that time talking.
They're just so tight. I mean, we're splitting hairs. I think, honestly,
do it.
They're so tight. I'm gonna go ahead and go. Burrow, Herbert, Tua.
Okay.
I know that might not be where you go with it, but I'm okay with that.
No. But it's where the show needed you to go, Fornaro.
Oh boy, here we go. I apparently picked a side.
Well, no, you. I mean, so, I would rank it today, and you're gonna hate this. I would rank it Herbert to a Burrow.
Wow. Okay.
Now, and so I mean, you mentioned so many things. Like I can tell you like Herbert. So this isn't going to be a I hate Herbert or Fornaro hates Herbert type situation. But I mean, dude, just the more you look at it, like you mentioned all that, like what you said, 4 touchdowns for 50 yards or more. Like what was it, second or third in the league? Or my apologies.
Yeah, He's second in the league.
Second in the league with two less games. He's through his bye week and he didn't play week one.
Correct.
So Burrow's played seven games.
So hold on. So the 2 through 7, with the bye.
Yeah.
Herbert is the 8th overall quarterback. Like, forget rookies, right? He's the 8th overall. So he's the top 8 quarterback. And Burrow's at 10, but he has a whole extra game.
Two extra games.
Right, I'm sorry. Well, no, I remember I said week 2 to 7. I'm rolling out week 1. So I took that away. So we're saying one extra game, they're 2 spots away. Now, that's significant, one extra game.
Why are we only giving him one extra game when there's really two?
Well, I have it sorted 2 to 7 because Herbert didn't play week 1. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I just happen to have this in front of me. I don't have unless you have something else in front of you. I can certainly sort it again, but I don't know the point of that exercise.
I mean, it's just the reality is that Herbert's doing that much better with two less games. That's just the reality. I know that you're doing, like, you're just comparing the time that Herbert's played, but if you give Burrow that extra week, and I'm fine with it, is kind of what I'm saying. Like, even, mm-hmm. like, we'll take Scott Fishbowl scoring, for example. And I know that this is hard on scoring. So Scott Fishbowl and Joe Burrow is QB19 with those two extra games. And then so QB19, but Herbert's QB13. And if you use the average points, Burrow is QB20 to Herbert's QB6. That's Scott Fishbowl.
Yeah, Scott Fishbowl is crazy scoring. I don't even want to go there.
Then we won't. Let's erase that. Do we have a jury? Craziness. Can we pretend you didn't hear that? We are lucky enough to be in 4 leagues together that have these quarterbacks in them. So Dynasty Predators, Burrow is QB14. He has 171 points in 7 weeks. So QB14, Herbert is QB15 with only 5 less points, with 2 less games, 166 points. His average, he's QB4 with 33 points a week to Burrow's QB19 average at 24 points. So 7 points difference from QB4 to QB19 if you take average weeks. And only like one spot behind him in Predators. Our rookie fever league. I didn't do the other rookie league we're in because we use Scott Fishbowl scoring. But our rookie fever league, the Cam Akers one, Burrow is QB13. To Herbert's QB16, so only 3 spots ahead. 125 points for Herbert in that league to Burrow's at 131, so only 6 points more in 2 games.
I didn't realize we were ranking them based on statistics from week 1 to 7. I thought we were doing Dynasty.
I thought we are.
I'm just saying, you're just quoting on what happened in the first 7 weeks of their brief NFL careers.
But that's not worth talking about?
Well, no, I mean that's like redraft mentality.
You wanted to take a week out, and you're telling me that this is ridiculous to look at what they've done.
No, oh my God, I feel like you came in with an agenda.
No,
you basically put this little caveat on there. I know you like Herbert.
You act like you don't have notes.
What are you talking about?
This is just in my notes.
I know what I should have done. I should have just ranked it the way you were going to rank it, and then you would literally have nothing to talk about.
No,
arguing.
I would have had to still say this.
I'm not
this.
Arguing with you. I'm not arguing you about the first 7 weeks. That's this. You can sort any stats and figure that out. Asked me my opinion.
This
I'm not going
to
base
by
my opinion on 7 weeks.
No means meant
they
to trigger
the, they
you.
He played the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars last week and put up 42 points. That's what happened.
Burrow had
That's
a good
what
week
happened.
Last week, too.
Yeah, he had a great week last week and played the fucking Cleveland Browns. They suck too.
Yeah, so.
So I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't go to 7 weeks and find all different kinds of scorings and rank them and go like. I mean, you could do it. You're doing it. You clearly are allowed to do it.
I thought it was fair to have more than one kind of scoring, though.
No. I understand, but of course, like, statistically, they're going to be ranked differently from each other. And I get your point. I do. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't debate with you at all that Herbert had a better first games than Burrow. I don't have to debate it.
I mean, it's not like I got mad at you when you told me that Herbert had 450-yard touchdowns. That didn't make me mad.
It's because I was giving you additional artillery for your argument that Herbert's better than Burrow.
But it's not like I hate Joe Burrow.
Totally understand.
What we're seeing here is real, and then you take the teams they're on and the organizations, and I feel like the Chargers are probably a better organization. I love T. Higgins, but Keenan Allen, I mean, is pretty dope. I don't know, man. Like
now we're talking about their futures. Okay, so let's talk about this stuff. Rather than the first seven
weeks. I don't know why you're crapping on this so much. I mean, we're about to do the top 12 historical data from last week, but you're acting like none of this is important.
I am not saying it's not important.
I'm just saying, this is the kind of stuff I'm looking at that gets me excited. I don't think people are looking at it this way. Most things I hear, it's just Burrow easy.
People aren't sorting stats and finding out ranks? What do you mean people aren't looking at it that way?
I haven't heard anybody really point any of this out, to be honest with you. I know that anybody could go into their leagues and do this themselves, but it seems like everybody comes out with the same conclusion, and that's Joe Burrow.
Oh, okay. So that's what I accidentally did. I stepped into the trap that is... Everybody else.
I don't know why you want to feel so trapped.
Because you literally salivated. I don't even see your image. We're not even seeing each other. And I know that because I picked Burrow 1, you're like, now I have a show.
No.
Because I am consensus.
Oh my goodness.
I am consensus, ladies and gentlemen. Because after 7 weeks, I'm sticking with what the NFL thought was the number one overall pick, which is just easy and lazy. This is good podcasting, Swags. This is good stuff. I can't agree with you more that through 7 weeks Herbert's been better.
Absolutely.
But I really was interested in past that what you thought, and I thought from an organization, Cincinnati has been just horrendous. As an organization, and I think they did get it right with Higgins. I am excited with Higgins. Green is turning it on. He's been out of football for I don't know how long, and that's going to be a big part on why this gap closes a little bit, I think, through the rest of the season. Because without Green, it was, in my opinion, Boyd's kind of a two. He's not a one. And Higgins was helping out, but it just wasn't enough. It's no Keenan Allen. But if A.J. Green's going to come alive a little bit here, and then on top of it, we get a healthy mix in finally, I think this gap could get bridged. I mean, we have another, 9 weeks. So all I'm saying is Herbert's got a great chance to maintain this lead, but I just think they get a lot closer than they are right now.
We shall see.
So what else do you love besides the first 7 weeks about Herbert? I got some more fun stuff. You want a fun fact about Herbert?
I would hate to know that you did research too.
I did. Of course I did. But it was kind of like a little unbiased. It was, you know, I got a lot of fun facts about all three quarterbacks.
Have at it.
So this is NFL history, right? This is NFL history. This is not the first 7 weeks. Actually, it is. Funny. Herbert has the highest adjusted completion percentage of any rookie quarterback in NFL history through his first 7 weeks. So he's literally in a historical season. No NFL, like no rookie. I feel like if Mahomes had a rookie season, then maybe that would have been skewed, but that's impressive. That you like to see.
Mm-hmm.
We got 5 starts, 14 touchdowns, and in that time, you know how I like to always point out Robinson playing weak defenses. He played 3 top 10 defenses in those 5 starts. Another very impressive. I already mentioned the 4 50-yard touchdowns and the 8 over 20. And the only person that has him beat on that is Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So these are things that I like about Herbert moving forward. But I just want to kind of just slow my roll a little bit and just say, you know, this is a small sample size.
He played the Chiefs second best.
Yeah.
After Watson, right?
Yep.
And
3 top 10 defenses.
That was his first start.
Yep. 3 top 10 defenses. And what we'll say about that, too, is none of these defenses have any tape on these guys. that's something that is an advantage. You see backup quarterbacks come in all the time and just have a really great game. So just wait for a little bit more Tate. I think he cools down a little bit, but he's got some really juicy matchups along the way. So I actually have I believe I have this somewhere as well. Yeah, this is great. So Herbert is going to be starting for a lot of teams in redraft and dynasty weeks 14, 15, and 16. So that's your playoff weeks, right? Falcons, Raiders, and Broncos. Great matchups. Great matchups. So by the end of this full season, it is going to be tough for Burrow to meet Herbert with his head start he has.
Yeah. But
in dynasty, I think it's a lot closer.
Yeah, and I mean, in a lot of them, too, and obviously we'll get a Joe Burrow bye, but he'll probably never miss that week one. Like, he'll hopefully he's healthy all year is what I'm saying. He probably won't miss a game.
Right.
That's the hope.
All right, so now tell everybody why you hate Joe Burrow so much. I'm kidding.
I don't hate him. I think that we're pretty excited about him, you know, he hasn't really had a – I mean, he's not a QB1, but we've – put him there already. I know he's going to get better. I know he's a rookie. I know our expectations are too high for these rookies, but I think Joe Burrow gets some cool points, and everything he does is super awesome and people really enjoy, and Herbert's just kind of silently doing it, man, and I like his poise. I really like the kid, man. I like him on and off the field when I hear him talk after games. Like, I really like Herbert, man. Just what I see. That's the kind of player I enjoy a little bit more than it's just who I want. And he's showing it week after week. And I know this last week he had a great matchup. I mean, it's the kind of stuff we all talked about, you know, like roll Herbert out for sure. We see this stuff coming. But damn, dude, he's just had a great season and done it all starting two less games. He wasn't even in camp as the starter, you know. He was behind somebody we didn't think was going to be the starter long. Don't get me wrong, we knew from Hard Knocks that they were liking him a lot and they were like, damn, but other than that, like, he wasn't supposed to be the starter. I just think he's done amazing with his opportunity, and it's being just a little bit, I don't know, we're all excited, but I think he's being a little bit pushed aside by Joe Burrow.
Is he another guy you think needs a voice, Herbert?
No, not quite. I think he'll have one. Like,
I feel like everybody's talking about him after that week.
Yeah, I agree. And they even have been, you know, like through the bye week and everything. I don't think he needs a voice. He's just who I favor. He's
more fun right now. There's no doubt about that for all the reasons you said. He's like the Rocky Balboa. Right?
I don't think he's worse than Joe Burrow. I'm not going to sit here and say he's better, but yeah, I like his team better. I like his organization better. I like his O-line a little bit better. And I know all those things can change in time and they can be fixed, but we've been talking about this Bengals O-line for a minute, right? I mean,
yeah, and we like talking about this as well. We like talking about opportunity. And we like talking about, which I love talking about, I think people don't talk about enough, is when a team has a bad defense. So Cincinnati's defense is atrocious. And that's why Burrow has more pass attempts in 7 weeks than any other quarterback in the league. So that's opportunity. He's thrown the ball 293 times. So for me, the volume there is there. He's always going to have to throw the ball. He's always going to have to play catch up. The Chargers, that's not necessarily the case. They have a good defense. So from a fantasy perspective, you know, there's also a guy that is going to just have to throw more than Herbert. So if Herbert's efficiency dips a little bit and he's not electric and he's not playing the Jaguars, I just think that the gap will start to close. He's just going to throw it a ton.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's defense can just be picked on. It's unbelievable. I mean, they made Cleveland look like a great offense, and it's not.
Yeah, you make some good points, my friend.
Burrow, by the way, week 14 gets the Cowboys, and week 16 gets the Texans.
Hmm.
So both guys have wonderful playoff stretches for the dynasty and redraft teams that have them. So both those guys, I think we're going to be talking about quite a bit throughout the season.
Yeah.
And I hope we get to talk about Tua just as much. I really do. I would love to have a three-headed monster here.
Yeah, it would for sure make this more fun. So I guess we dig into this top 12.
Let's do it.
Number 12, Joshua Kelly. RB 24, 11.5 points, 12 carries, 29 yards, 5 for 5 in the passing game, but only 24 yards. Super inefficient. It's nice to see him get those 5 for 5 in the passing game, but I don't know. Justin Jackson didn't have a good game either.
No, he didn't, right? What's your feeling on that with those two? Like, is this game kind of like what we're gonna see? It's almost 50-50. I'm looking at the snap shares right now. And it does favor Kelly 47-38.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they loved Kelly, and you kind of saw that in the beginning of the season. So I feel like the Justin Jackson thing was just necessary because of Eckler. Do you think there's any chance this can dip a little bit more to a 60-40 split, or even, hell, a 70-30? Or do you think Justin Jackson's here to stay?
I don't know. Kind of all of that, sort of. I'm super kind of disappointed with Joshua Kelly. I think this is just kind of what we're going to expect from him. Like, he'll have some of those higher ceiling weeks where he might win it for you, but I think he's just going to be, like, one of those 10-14-point type guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just kind of it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but just watching his efficiency, and it's nice to see him used in the passing game, but it's just kind of hard to keep defending him and waiting for it. And so it's nice if you put him in your lineup, you can get these 11 points in your flex spots, but I think that's it, you know? I'm kind of happy to move on from him. That said, if these are your expectations, you know, Fanero and I have been kind of trying to say if we'd start him or not. I mean, if these are your expectations, I'll fire him up in my flex spot. You know, I have teams where I have to.
Yep, I was going to say RB3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he finished as an RB2. Well, very, very late RB2. He did out-touch Jackson 12-5. I mean, that's nice to see.
Yeah, but you're for right. Sure.
That efficiency is just like, come on, man. Can we blame the injury or coming back from it at all? I mean, I know this is his second game back, but you're just not, you're done with the excuses, right? You just don't like what you see on the field.
I mean, even just his opportunities, that it'd be nice to see him average, you know, 3 yards per carry. You know what I mean? And he's just not. It's just kind of one of those things where, and no touchdown, you know? So I don't know, man. Yeah, I think this is just kind of it. If he didn't have those 5 PPR points here,
yeah,
I mean, he's not even in the top 12.
Yeah, that's correct.
So
involved in the passing game is also a positive, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I did earn 1 point off Joshua Kelly this week.
I know you did.
Just barely squeaked me in. Number 11, 2 tight ends this week. But number 11 is Albert O. Tight end 7, 13 points, 7 for 7, 60 yards. So
quick question, Swags. Are the 2 tight ends that we have on this list our first 2 tight ends ever?
No.
We did have. Did Bryant make it one other time?
Yeah.
Or some other. We've had, some other tight end.
Let me look.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. I thought it might have been an exciting top 12 if we only these are our first 2 tight ends. I remember you and I.
So have Harrison Bryant has been on it. Oh,
okay. Yeah,
but no, that's this week.
Right.
I thought like Harrison Bryant was a tight end on it another week, but it doesn't look like it. Yeah, maybe you're right.
I just thought that was crazy.
Maybe they got that close. So
maybe, yeah. I think Harrison Bryant's been flirting with it for sure, and we'll talk about him later. But, yeah, so Albert O caught 7 out of 7, dude. You know what that sounds like. That sounds like a Gabriel Davis-type game.
Oh, in week 7 on Tight End Appreciation Day.
Yes. Did you see that Kittle thing? That was amazing. Tight End Appreciation Day.
We also this is the first time since week 1 that we've had 5 rookies on the list that have never made it before.
Yes, I have that list in front of me. Yeah, I thought that was pretty impressive after I went on a rant saying that, you know, it's almost impossible to crack this 12.
Yeah. So
Silly, it's
exciting to see that out of Alberto. I don't know. I mean, you're not starting him, are you?
No, sir.
Not if you.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
So number,
no, can't do it.
Number 10, your boy, CEH, running back 19, 14.1 points, 8 carries, 46 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 for 4 in the passing game for an extra 17 yards. CEH.
Only his second touchdown of the season.
That's crazy. And
yeah, Lev Bell had 33% of the carries after just getting off the plane. Not 33% of the carries, snaps. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire was only out there for 53%. So yeah, it's gonna be mixed up. I do think that CEH does get the majority of the snaps and the touches. I do believe that throughout the rest of the season. I think they're pretty happy with him. I think this was not a great game for CEH, but he still makes the top 12. RB19.
Yeah.
1 for 4 in the pass game. That's not good enough, Swags.
No, that's not good at all, especially when that's supposed to be like why he was going to be so good.
Yeah, that's supposed to be his thing.
Yep. Number 9, LaMichael P. Ryan, RB18, 14.6 points, 11 carries, 39 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 receptions, 3 targets, 16 yards. This one bugged me that none of us, including our fictional guests, or no, it was Dave last week, pardon me, Dave, but nobody picked LaMichael P. Ryan to push into the top 12, but I think now that I look back at it, I think it was sort of obvious.
Yeah, his opportunity was there.
Yep.
With Lev Bell moving on. Lev Bell and CEH, by the way, get the Jets next week.
Hmm.
Juicy matchup. And then, of course, we have Lev Bell with the revenge game. Yeah, LaMichael. LaMichael, I actually picked him up in a redraft. One of my very few. I think I have 2 redrafts, if you count Scott Fishbowl being one of them. And in my other one, it's like a family league I've had for like over 22 years. I picked that guy up. I'm like, you know what? Like that, he could be a flex play in redraft the rest of the way. It looks like they're going to give him an opportunity.
So are you starting him? Not necessarily in that particular league, but what are your expectations?
Not in that league. I build my teams like you do. I have a lot of, I have both Taylor and Swift in that league.
Can we expect 14 points this week?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm kind of with you. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a very fair, in PPR, that's absolutely a fair, expectation for LaMichael P. Ryan. Yeah. And he's probably going to, give him a good matchup and he might, might push into that 20 point category. I do not have in front of me who they're playing this week. So that would really, oh wait, yes we do. I just told you. they're going to have the Chiefs, right?
Oh,
Chiefs
yeah.
Chiefs are playing the Jets.
That's rough.
Yeah, so that is rough. So this is not going to be one of those games. And now I'm starting to kind of reconsider whether he's a flex play this week.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. But yeah, that's a bad matchup. But other than that, I really like him.
Why don't we close with that with P. Ryan then? He's a flex play given a good matchup.
Yeah.
Or at least a mediocre one. The Kansas City Chiefs is not a good matchup
for him. Yep. Number 8. So far, if anybody hasn't caught on, we have Albert O was one of those 5 that haven't made it. LaMichael P. Ryan and the number 8, Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver 34, 14.6 points, 3 receptions on 3 targets, 56 yards, and a touchdown.
Let's talk about Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Odell Beckham.
Maybe never again.
Maybe, yeah. I feel like they're going to lean with Higgins as a majority target, obviously Landry, but after Landry I think Higgins is going to be that guy.
Yeah, and then the tight ends.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, absolutely, they're really happy with Bryant. So for me, I wouldn't get super excited about Donovan Peoples-Jones. I'm not starting him next week in any situation. Unless you have just a shit ton of buys and you need a body, but and you're hoping for a touchdown, but you like seeing this because he's been on no man's land. There's just been no opportunity whatsoever. I'm looking at his snap shares. Week 1, 0. Week 2, 0. Week 3, 0. Week 3, 44. I mean, week 4, I'm sorry. 44, dip down to 14, down to 5, and then skyrockets to 69 with the injury, of course.
Yeah.
So one would say, oh, well, the injury, like that's Donovan Peoples-Jones is the Odell Beckham Jr. replacement. Well, if you look at Higgins' snaps, he jumped from 55% to 85% in that same game.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So
he's still going to get opportunity, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think he's more of a stash. Like he's somebody that I'm kind of excited about more for like 2021 and to see what happens then than I am so much now. And I think just like you said, how well he did with this little opportunity is going to work in his benefit, hopefully.
That's a great way to manage your expectations.
See, I think, what even happens with next year. Baker, yep. Mayfield, though. That was even a good Baker game. Maybe Odell's the problem.
How bad Cincinnati's defense is, dude.
Yeah.
Yes, it's bad.
Yeah, so even their schedule gets a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Then we have number 7, another first-timer, Marquez Callaway from the Saints, wide receiver 29, 15.5 points, 8 receptions on 10 targets for 75 yards. Holy cow.
So Marquez Callaway makes me want to talk about Tre'Quan Smith. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know you and I wanted Tre'Quan Smith to be a thing, and he's had nothing but opportunities to do so.
He's had a little bit going on this year.
Yeah, sure. A little bit going on. I agree.
He might be, I mean, and I don't think he's ever going to be what we wanted him to be, but I think that he's also kind of an example of, you got to be patient with some of these guys. Like, he's somebody now that you could probably start as a wide receiver 3 or 4, and we'll probably have that kind of role in the NFL. You know what I mean? So we are wrong about him, but there's some rightness if you wait every here and there. But
yeah, he's wide receiver 55.
Yeah.
On the season. I mean, you know, there's a buy in there, and you know, but you look at his snap shares, and he looks like a full time wide receiver. You know, 65, 88.
I wonder if Michael Thomas gets traded before the deadline.
I don't think that's happening. I really don't. I know that the you know, the whatever fight he got into is fueling this, but I don't think they're getting rid of Michael Thomas. There's a couple people in the NFL that's just saying that that's a bunch of hogwash. Mm.
I'm just guessing from the way Michael Thomas handles himself that he was probably really mad when he got suspended for that game by the team.
I agree.
Number 6, DeAndre Swift, running back 16, 15.7 points, 9 carries, 27 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 receptions from 5 targets for 21 yards. DeAndre Swift.
I was a little confused by this. He just had a monster performance in week 6. And then he looked like he was just going to, like, just ride that into literally a smash spot against Atlanta.
Right, yeah.
Just an amazing – I fired him up everywhere, right? So I missed Swift in week 6. It's a typical fantasy shit, right? You chase the points. But chasing the points wasn't like a novice move here. Atlanta's a great matchup. But the 9 carries, so that's probably game script. Still an RB16. You know, that TD and those receptions are going to keep Swift relevant. I think we just had to be more patient with Swift than we thought. And I'm not down because of this week at all.
Yeah.
I'm not down on him at all.
I mean, this is the third week in a row when both him and CEH have been playing and he's had a better fantasy week.
Oh, wow.
Weeks 4 and then week 6 aside of the bye. Even when Swift or CEH had that big week last week, Swift still did better. And then week 7 here.
I was not looking at that, so I did not know that. I know you will forever look at these two people.
Yeah, that's just it, Finero. I can't get away from it. Like, people still ask me about it. I've got my pinned tweet.
Glad you never took that down.
I look at the top 12, you know, and yeah, the last 3 times that both of them have played, Swift has had better fantasy games. So,
well,
interesting.
Now CEH is sharing, so...
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's definitely an interesting situation, man. Like, I'm surprised by Bell getting signed there.
Yeah, I was too.
Number 5 is Brandon Ayuk, and number 4 is T. Higgins. They have both been in the top 12 since week 3. Ever since then, they've just been killing it week 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So Brandon Ayuk was wide receiver 23, 17.5 points, 6 receptions on 7 targets for 115 yards. And then Higgins, wide receiver 17, 18.9 points, 1 carry for 7 yards, 5 for 5 in the passing game, 71 yards and a touchdown. I really like both these guys a lot.
Yeah. Ayuk is in another smash spot this week. So, you know.
Yeah, no Debo, right?
Yeah, no Debo. Great matchup. So for me, you know, I could see him easily being, you know, mid wide receiver 2 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a fun one. So I'm looking forward to seeing him this week. I think we're going to see him in another highlight.
Yeah, dude, probably.
Yeah. No hurdling. But
I'm interested to see what happens with Debo and Ayuk if Debo keeps missing this time.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a shame. I love Debo. I still love him.
Oh, I'm so wishy-washy because I think a couple weeks ago I was Debo. Now like, but now, man, look at Ayuk, you know, because we look at these rookie
fear numbers. You're allowed to be both. You don't have to choose.
Yeah, that's true. But and then Higgins is just killing it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then rookie fever fan favorite, number three this week, Antonio Gibson, running back 9, 20.8 points, 20 carries, 128 yards, one touchdown, only targeted one time.
So are we going to have to start looking at this guy, I guess?
I'm still happy I sold him.
Okay, good.
I mean,
tell me why you are.
Well,
because of next year.
I mean, dude, my trade. I don't know if I've talked about. I know I've talked to you about this, but yeah. I don't know if I talked about it on the show. But my trade was trading away Todd Gurley and Antonio Gibson and getting Justin Jefferson and Justin Jackson.
Oh wow!
So I got Justin Jefferson, and to me, like. I'm so heavily invested in Gurley, and on this team that I have, I have a lot of running back depth, and Jefferson hit the block, and the guy needed running backs, and I went for it, and it's like kind of what I refer to as like the competitive rebuild. Like I'm still keeping my team viable and competitive in this move, but I'm also making sure that I don't lose too much in my assets, and I take advantage of my sell windows, you know, which was presented when this guy needed running backs really bad and he let the league know. We talked, we cooperated and worked a deal out, you know. So I think he was selling high on Jefferson. I think he liked him a lot, not quite as much as me, but I think he liked him a lot, but he also didn't see what I see. And I think Justin Jefferson is a really nice long-term play. I don't think we're going to get like 40 points from him a week. I want to get it down to where you're getting like that 20 to 25 a week, though. You know what I mean? But yeah.
I like him that much.
Yeah, I like him a lot, man. So
yeah,
it was just one of those things where I felt like I need to start selling some Gurley shares, and opportunity was there. And I never have opportunity to sell Gurley. He's like probably my second highest owned player, I believe. And yes, that was the first share I've ever sold. So it felt weird. But
I got out of a Gurley share last week too.
Yeah. So that league started in 2016, and he is the only player that I had left from that year.
You trade monster.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy.
So yeah, that's why I did it, you know. So I mean, I don't even think it sounds that crazy to a lot of people. Even some of the bigger Antonio Gibson guys might have done that deal. You never know.
Yep. No,
but,
I agree.
But for me, it is kind of a next year thing, and I don't know, man. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble getting behind Gibson. He had a really great week last week.
I hear your voice in the back of my head about Robinson. When I just seem to refuse to get
I hear my voice
Gibson.
In the back of my head when I I mean, honestly, I think that way too. Like, man, you make all these arguments for this guy, but not for this guy.
Right. It feels like take lock. It's like, you know, I just felt this way about this guy and I still want to be right. And I, you know, at some point, like, you know, 20 carries for 128 yards. I mean,
yeah. And to be fair, like, this is Antonio Gibson's best game, and James Robinson has been doing this all year.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Kind of. I don't know.
Yep.
The next one on the list, though, we mentioned there's another tight end, but Harrison Bryant, tight end 1, 21.6 points. To be fair, and I mean, he's tight end 1 no matter what, Harrison Bryant, shout out to you. But to be fair, this is kind of a low-scoring tight end 1 number, like 21.6 points. With Kelce and Kittle and those guys out there, sometimes we do see a little bit more. Still a freaking amazing week, but 4 receptions, 5 targets, 56 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Probably isn't happening again anytime soon.
No. Yeah, but, we had Hooper out with the appendix. That was a big reason.
Yep. But and it's still good to see.
Njoku's still a very big part of this offense. Njoku had a touchdown in this game as well. He is the disgruntled tight end on this roster.
Yeah, he wants to be moved.
Yeah, and we talked about this. I'm going to say 3 weeks ago, when we were trying to pick our rookie tight end to make our top 12, and both of us like Harrison Bryant because the team likes Harrison Bryant. You know they do.
Yep.
He's out there 77% of snaps with Hooper gone.
Wow.
That's more than Njoku. You know, I mean, and he's been right at Njoko number or above Njoku's numbers every time Njoku's been on the field. Week one, right? When they have they don't have any game tape, he was 42 to 23%.
Yeah, even week six, the week that Njoku got that touchdown, I mean, Harrison Bryant was out there more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So definitely good to see. I do hope they trade Njoku, though. I really do. I'd like to see him in a different situation.
Me too. I think Njoku is a good tight end. I think he just needs a new place to live.
Yep. Number one, James Robinson, also at the top of his position this week, just like Harrison Bryant. RB1, 33.9 points, 22 carries, 119 yards, one touchdown, four receptions on six targets, 18 yards, and another touchdown. This team struggles, but James Robinson just doesn't.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this is hearing Swag's voice during this game again. You know, just saying, dude, like, what's keeping you from just supporting this guy? You know, like, it's time. I will say that the Chargers defense is a much better defense than the defenses that he has played. However, they can be beat on the ground. They give up an average 113 yards per game, and look at what Robinson got, 119. But he's taking everything that's given to him. I have to stop coming up with excuses to not like the guy. I feel like I do it every single week, and it's just unfair. I mean, through 7 weeks, he's been great. He's been fantastic. There's just no other way to put it. I have been unhappy with the last 2 or 3 weeks with really great matchups and not taking advantage of them. This is an okay matchup. It's not a really good one. It's not a bad one. Just run game wise, Chargers are great, but just run game wise, and he exploited it.
Yeah.
This is a great stat line. He's RB1, 33.9 points. I'm done. I'm done doubting the guy. So now he'll have like 4 points next week.
All right, well, lucky for you, he's on a bye.
All right.
but I know what you're saying. The thing is, too, I think that it's kind of over now. Like, I think now he's kind of gotten to the point where he's unobtainable almost.
It's crazy, right?
I don't want to say unobtainable, but I think everybody's kind of with you now. You know what I mean? Like, the buy window kind of closed. And you know what? Here's the thing. I don't believe a buy window ever closes, but now you need to step your game up.
Yeah.
You know, like, people believe, they see it, like, it's happened time and time again. Yeah, man. And he's in a horrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Imagine if David Montgomery was playing like James Robinson is.
Sure.
You know, he's in a horrible situation too, but he's not doing this. And then
Gardner,
who we're worried about, who's kind of playing okay if you look at the stats and everything. But, man, I don't know. I'm scared. I want to find some ways to get out of some of my Gardner shares, but then I want to hold on to a few in case I'm just getting the jitters here.
I hear you.
So last week's top 12 didn't go so good on our predictions for any of us. Five new rookies into the top 12. We only picked one of them, and that was Joshua Kelly. Finero got really close with Zach Moss. I mean, in fact, I think Zach Moss and Joshua Kelly were like a half point away from each other. Like, it was very small. So he only got minus one with that. And then same with Dave and Jamichael Hasty. He was rookie number 14. Yeah, right, so there. Minus two. And then he also had Ruggs, I thought was a ringer, but he got minus nine. Maybe I should start Hunter Renfrow instead. And then Darnell Mooney, I was surprised with the minus seven.
Yeah.
If we played like we've played in the past, Feverish Finero may not be able to pick Darnell Mooney on a week where Allen Robinson may not play.
This is true. Yep. I am not allowed to pick Darnell Mooney or Zach Moss.
And then I went with Gabriel Davis, and he was minus 17 for me. So the total score is, at this point, Guest with minus 100. The Feverish Finero with minus 87. He's leading the way. I should have said you last, and then it would have segued so much smoother, wouldn't it have, guys? Like, if I would have been like, the Guest with minus 100. Swags, that's me with minus 99, and leading the way, the Feverish Finero with minus
that was
87.
Good.
Something
I think
like that.
That sounded great. Yeah,
next time I'll do it that way. So, I think if the guests are playing this week, I'm calling that I'm picking my two before them, and I don't care if you want to do it too.
Yeah, I think we always just kind of pick the guest last, but we do it real between you and me. So because I'm in the lead, you do get to pick first.
Man, are you sure?
Yeah, I know who I'm giving up. It's fine. There's low-hanging fruit. Take it.
Well, what do you think, Gus? Like, should I be able to pick, like, Justin Jefferson here? Do you think that's fair?
Because
he's
wrong.
He's eligible. We can't pick anybody from the top 12 or Jonathan Taylor or who's the other guy this week, Finero? Or CeeDee Lamb.
Back.
Jonathan
it's
Taylor or CeeDee
oh,
Lamb.
Lamb. Yeah, you're yep. right. Lamb
so
and Taylor.
Can't pick any of those people. Last week,
I was stunned that we're
five.
Allowed to pick Jefferson.
Yeah.
Why are we allowed to pick Jefferson?
He is eligible.
Yeah, you're right.
There are other darlings eligible, too. I mean, like, let me ask you this, Finero. Mm-hmm. Is Claypool low-hanging fruit?
Ooh, is Claypool low-hanging fruit? I would say not like Justin Jefferson.
Not quite the same?
Yeah.
Okay, then what I will do is take
J.K.
Dobbins.
I got an idea. So we just said Justin Jefferson and Claypool are possibly low-hanging fruit. What if we just took them off and gave them to the guests?
Boy.
Wow.
I just hate giving them that low-hanging fruit.
Wow.
They're doing pretty bad.
That would be, right? And that would be really bold.
They went from picking last to getting low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, but just, I mean, just, oof. I mean, that's just, oof. I don't even know if I'm willing to do that.
It's too late. I just
Did it
gave
happen?
Them to him.
Wow. All right. Justin Jefferson and Claypool
and
to
then,
the guests?
And then I took J.K. Dobbins.
Okay. So you're depending on Ingram. It does look like Ingram's not going to play. He did not practice today. Today
just,
is Thursday.
Dude, if you're at the casino, eventually Dobbins is going to hit.
Nah, I like that one, dude. He was in my top three. So it's my pick?
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to go back to a familiar well. And I know you're not going to like this because you made a comment about Hunter Renfro. I love Henry Ruggs versus Cleveland with the second worst defense.
Oh, no, I like that one. I like that one. Yeah. I was just joking. I'm not starting Renfro, yeah.
And we know what Ruggs needs. He needs like two catches, right, to be on this list. So he had a down week, very down week. So I love him to rebound off of that versus Cleveland. 31st defense against wide receivers. So I'll take Henry Ruggs. Ooh, Dobbins and Ruggs. Who's left? Lots of good names.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't know where to go. I have lots of names here.
Well, I mean, so I'm torn between two guys. One of them I know you can't pick.
Okay, good.
So even if I pick
Mooney's
him, you
one.
Can't pick
yep.
him.
Mooney's one, right?
So it's almost like, should I play the game or... should I see if I get in there?
Well,
oh,
it's,
nope.
it's really
okay,
close between
okay.
us.
Dude. I almost
so
messed
go
up.
For it. Oh, okay.
I'm taking, and then
it's tough, dude. There's a lot of good names.
Yeah, I'll take Darnell Mooney.
Okay,
it's my turn. I think we've all got. It.
Yes, we have. Mooney's been around.
He
Mooney's
sure has.
Mooney's been around. There's no doubt about that.
The dude, other player I was gonna take was on a bye week, so.
Oh, okay. Who's that?
LaVisca Chenault.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, not on my list.
It wouldn't have helped me.
All right. Since I have the last pick, because the guests have already picked,
oh.
I'm going to give you... What? Can I give you all the names I'm thinking about?
You have to pick... You only get to pick one of them.
I know, but I'm just going to like take you through my process. So there's a name that is very, very risky, but is playing an amazing matchup in Dallas. He's coming back from injury. Their team desperately needs him, and that is Jalen Reagor. I am not picking. I am not picking Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
I would love to. I really would, but I'm going to pick a running back, and I'm going to go with Jamichael Hasty versus Seattle.
Okay, I forgot you couldn't take Moss either.
I can't take Moss. I consider DJ Dallas, but I don't know what that situation. I don't know what that situation's like. Any one of those guys could play. I think DJ Dallas is going to get numbers, but I think Jamichael Hasty. And then the other one, dude, and you, if it wasn't for the matchup, I would have done it in a heartbeat. Denzel Mims.
Oh, I don't hate that one either.
Oh, I wanted to pick Denzel Mims so bad. I just Kansas City, man. I can't do it. They allow the third least points to wide receivers.
Yeah,
he's gonna get the volume though. I hope he does one flash pay just to get me excited. But so I went safe. I gave myself a safe floor to Michael Hasty.
Yeah, if you're thinking about buying low on Sam Darnold, do it after this week.
You think? Is it playing catch up?
Well, and just cause, I mean, dude, not that many people have done great against Kansas City. Like, you look at Lamar Jackson, it was his worst game. He's the second worst against Kansas City, by the way.
It's a good day.
Or no, he's the worst.
Really?
The second worst is Drew Lock. That's how bad Lamar's done this year.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy if you look at it, dude. Like, don't get me started on Lamar.
My defense or my reasoning to want to go with Mims in this horrible matchup is they're going to get garbage time, right? Kansas City's going to be way up in this game. They're going to get garbage time. Crowder was limited today, so he might not play. We don't know if Perriman's going to play. I mean, Mims could be out there for like 95% of snaps.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it so bad. I guess I talked about it enough. So
the guests got the low-hanging fruit, Justin Jefferson and Chase Claypool, Finero with Henry Ruggs and Jamichael Hasty. I took Ringer, J.K. Dobbins, and hopefully some Darnell Mooney. We'll see. Finero, I woke up this morning to a trade offer that I would have received Carlos Hyde for my DeAndre Swift. Yeah, dude.
I'd get out of that league tomorrow.
And that's the thing. And what it made me think of more like is try to find a way to get to know the people in your leagues.
Yeah.
Because even if Swift was a complete bust, which I don't think he is, even if he was to this point, like anybody that took a chance to get to know me they know that there's no freaking way I'm doing that trade.
Yeah, like Dobbins hasn't done shit all season, right?
Yeah.
Where Swift flashed, he had a monster game. So you wouldn't do that with Dobbins.
No, not at all, dude. I wouldn't.
Just do it. I can't even come up with a guy.
I'm keeping Acres. I'm keeping Acres.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just don't send those kind of offers. Yeah. They don't do anything for the relationship you're trying to build there, and they don't do anything for your league. They're just silly offers. You're literally hoping that somebody doesn't know what they're doing and they're playing your league in a redraft mindset.
Yep.
But
couldn't agree more.
And I get so excited opening trades. Like, even in the back of my head, I'm like, maybe this one's a good one. Maybe you'll actually just hit accept on this one.
I got a ton of offers over the weekend. I couldn't believe it. It was just a ton.
Sometimes it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's just that time of year. There's a lot of people like knowing where they are, so they're trying to either move picks or get picks. It was a fun weekend, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Did you get Julio?
I did. I got Julio.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's a team I'm in first place, and it's one of my highest money leagues, which is fun. Rich Doxson's in it. That's fun.
For a first and a second?
A first and a third.
First and third, Jesus.
And then keep in mind, I'm in first place, dude. So, like, it's probably a late first.
Go try to buy Julio low. Man, that's what I need to do is focus on all my leagues and send out some offers on Julio. And I mean this sincerely, whether you're contending or not. Like, Julio is going to help you longer. Like, maybe that person hits with that 112, but maybe not, you know? Like, it's still freaking Julio. He's going to help you for a couple years. Like, I saw somebody got Deontay Johnson in a second, and they were very content. And the Twitter poll had Deontay Johnson in the second winning. And to me, it's just like, hell no. Like, give me Julio. Like, Deontay Johnson is good. I like him a lot, but he's never going to be Julio. Julio Johnson, however, may one day become Deontay Johnson, or Julio Jones may become Deontay Johnson as he regresses. You might see that. But Deontay's not Julio.
It's crazy that you brought that up. That was his first offer. He wanted my Deontay Johnson and a second. And I said that I didn't want to make that move. And then he switched it to a first and a third. I said, I'll make that one.
Yeah, I might have taken the
Deontay one.
I might. Yeah, I like them both, Finero.
But the late first.
Even if it was you. But I liked them both. But
yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. And he made your team better, took your first, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a move that team needed to make for where they were. And it was a move that I had to make for sure.
And
where
it
I was
nice that you, but I don't agree with you. I think you won it. I think that, like, where were they? You say, you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to argue with you at the end of the show, but you say it's a move that they needed to make, like, for next year or for 2023, or when are we talking?
I guess what I was trying to say is there's people who want to move on from Julio, and I would say not even as Apex, but just past his Apex, so that they get a return.
Yeah,
they don't want. I mean, he's been injured off and on the field this year.
Yeah,
he's been known for that. I mean, if he was to, for example, this nagging thing that he's got going on with the hip, if that was to knock him out for, let's say, the last four games of this season.
Yeah, that hurts.
I mean, their record is horrible. Atlanta's record, they would shut him down. That's his value would drop significantly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I kind of just see as I just kind of see it as it's kind of like how I wanted to get out of Gurley right now. Like I kind of see it, but I think it's for me and where I was. I salivated over that. Like I sent it to you. I sent it to a couple other guys, and everybody was unanimous. Like, you got to make that deal. Like, why are you texting me? Like, just get it done.
Yeah.
So it was just about. I had to drop somebody. It's a big deal.
I'm definitely going to throw some offers out for Julio, though.
Yeah, dude, do it. If that's the price, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Go get yourself some Herbert.
Oh, I'm already trying. The price has gone up a little bit, but I traded Joe Burrow, and it got Herbert in a third.
Ooh. Look at you.
Yeah. So, you know, got my guy in an extra third, and the other person feels, you know, good about what they got.
Yeah,
touchdown, Todd Gurley, as we're talking about him. He is at Artvark TV. I am at SwagZillaZOG. This is at Rookie Fever Podcast. We're out of here, I think. No Family Feud tonight.
No, not tonight. Julio's got 108 yards.
Holy cow. And you started him.
Oh, yeah.
You already won.